Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome to Astro Q&A with Vic Decker. Question one.
I saw your video about Taurus, and I'm so psyched that I'm a Taurus. Okay, I'm sure that the description of Taurus totally fits you, because definitely you are a person of enduring beauty and real wealth and true love. But I have to say that Taurus is a section of space. It's not a person, not you or anybody else. Now, by saying that you're a Taurus, you probably are indicating that you were born between April and May, because that's when the sun is in Taurus. And that's how most of the popular astrology judges what you are. But that's barely like a 33rd of the complete astrological picture of what you are. So you should try to check more into what birth charts are all about, not just sun signs.
Question two.
Which one is correct? Vedic astrology or Western astrology? It's a completely a false dichotomy that one of these two systems has to be correct and the other one has to be incorrect. Both systems, Vedic and Western astrology, are actually practically the same, especially when you take both of them back to their roots. If you take Western astrology back to its classic roots, it's practically exactly the same as Vedic astrology. So it's totally a false dilemma that one of them is right and the other one is wrong. Now, there's a common idea that they're significantly different because the Vedic system uses sidereal zodiac coordinates. But actually, if you take Vedic astrology back to its real roots and you really look in the Sanskrit texts that define how the calculation should be done, you find out that Vedic astrology is also originally tropical. So really, when you take both of them back to their roots, they're the same system. And so it's a false dilemma that one is better than the other. And even when you deal with both of them in their modern forms, it's still a false dilemma that one is better than the other. Because there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to get to Rome. There may be flaws in the modern Vedic system, and there may be flaws in the modern Western system, but that doesn't mean that either one of them is unworkable. So the answer is that they're both basically the same, and it really depends upon the quality of the astrologer using the system.
Question three.
Can you explain how the family members relate to the 12 houses? Well, I start off with the four cardinal points. The first house is you, and the seventh house is not you, meaning it's the other person in your life that's real important. So mostly the seventh house is all about your spouse, your primary partner. So first house you, seventh house spouse. Then you have up and down. Below you, supporting you, keeping your emotions up, is your mom, fourth house. And above you, kind of regulating you and protecting you, in the 10th house, is the father. So first self, seventh spouse, fourth mom, 10th dad. Those are the anchors and the most important people in your life. Then you have the fifth is children, because the children are created by love, and the fifth house is about love and creative expression. Third house is about siblings, your competitors. The ninth house is about your well-wishers, people who take care of you, like your grandparents especially, your teachers, your gurus. The 11th house is about the people that you party with, people that you go out and have fun with. Not necessarily friends in the real sense of the word, but friends in a social sense of the word. The second house is about your real friends. They're like family. Your friends and all your family, all your supporters are in the second house. Sixth house is enemies. And also, humorously, your mom's siblings. And the 12th house is also like people that you have no idea who they are, foreigners, and also, ironically, your dad's siblings. So that's all the houses, right?
Question four.
Can you share some little known facts about the houses? I think the littlest known fact about the houses is that the 8th house is the house of life, and the 7th house is the house of death. It's totally pretty much unknown fact, and probably it's so unknown because it doesn't really work that way in practice. Because what happens is when you get a planet in the seventh house, quite often it comes into an exact opposition with the ascendant, so it has a very strong influence. So even though the seventh house represents the sun setting, disappearing, things going away and dying, practically speaking, when you get a planet in there, it doesn't disappear. It starts to influence the ascendant. A lot like the sunset. The sun is disappearing, but it really catches your attention right at that final moment. So it's really more the seventh lord, which represents death, than the seventh house itself. And the eighth house is the house of life, but it's the lack of life force that causes death. And also that's where things kind of really disappear before they come to the horizon and start to influence the ascendant. So in the eighth house, the things, planets in the eighth house are getting 150 degree relationship to the ascendant, which is blind. There's no aspectual influence. So things sort of disappear in the eighth house. But the true actual meaning of the eighth and the seventh house is that the eighth is the house of life, Ayushbhav, and the seventh is the house of death.
Question five.
What the heck is a Navamsha and how do I use it?
Amsha means part or fragment. Navamsha means nine parts. There's all kinds of different fragments, way of fragmenting the signs into different parts. Mostly they're just named according to the number, dashamsha, dvadashamsa, like that, 12 parts, 10 parts, 9 parts, saptamsha, 7 parts. The way you use these things is to support the main chart. You read them exactly the same way you read a main chart, but you will never give them precedence over the main chart. The main chart is the main chart, and the subcharts give support or lack of support to the interpretations that are possible from the main chart. And each subchart has its own area of influence. So everything in that subchart pertains mainly to that area. For example, the dashamsa is a lot about your career. It's mostly about your career. So if you're reading the fifth house in the dashamsa, you're reading about how the person uses their intellect for their career, or possibly how their children are involved in their career.
Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, like, and share, and leave a comment below. You can ask your questions there too. And please visit my website, vicdecara.com, for readings, classes, books, links to my Facebook and blog, and all kinds of stuff.